Hello everybody and welcome to 13 Nights of Halloween Season 3 Episode 1. Now before I even dive into the episode, just a major credit to Shuja Stories who have largely inspired the stories that we are going to talk about this season. Shuja Stories is a digital art museum that showcases African legends in the most creative way possible. You can find them at shujastories.org. That is shujastories.org. And while you're at it, you can follow us at the Horror Fan Club Kenya on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. As always, I am yours, Larry Sylvester. Let's get to the video, or rather podcast. Our first story for tonight is going to be about Wango Wa Makeri, otherwise known as the fiery chiefess in the Kikuyu tribe in Kenya. Wango Wa Makeri was born around 1856 in Murang'a. She had no formal education and ended up working on her parents' farm as a laborer. It was there that she met her husband Makeri Wa Mbogo. Mbogo can be loosely translated to buffalo in Kikuyu. Together they raised six children. It is said that she entered into another relationship with Karori Wagakure, a paramount chief of Fort Hall in today's Murang'a, and a man with 60 wives who stayed in her family's home whenever he stopped by in the village where she lived. When Makeri Wa Mbogo learned about the relationship, Paramount Chief Kakure, in an attempt to appease and silence him, offered him the position of head man. Makeri declined. The Paramount Chief then offered the position to Wango and she gladly accepted. This was in 1902, a time when the position of headman, as the name suggests, was a male-only preserve. Wango Wa Makeri became the first and only female leader of the Kikuyu during the whole of the British colonial period. By this time, the British colonial authorities had begun a taxation system whose enforcement they passed on to the locals. Wango became a figure of controversy among her people as the go-between them and the colonial authorities. She was considered to be a harsh and authoritarian tax collector who would intimidate tax evaders and subject them to solitary confinement. Wango would often sit on the backs of offenders as they knelt before her in submission. This was what you'd call her signature move, since most of the offenders were men. Her downfall, when it came, was spectacular and sent shockwaves throughout the entire region. The exact date is unclear, but Wango fell from power at a meeting held between 2nd and 4th June 1909. Before the meeting, Wango had allegedly joined a group of adult men in dancing the Kibata naked. The Kibata is considered to be a traditional dance. This was the ultimate transgression because the Kibata was never to be danced by women. The story goes that Chief Akure had also been part of the dance. On seeing her lover dancing, Wango chose to throw caution to the wind and discarded her clothing to dance provocatively with him. Another explanation for her nakedness is that some conniving male dancers deliberately adjusted her ceremonial sword, causing it to cut the strings of her muthuru, or traditional skirt, which fell to the ground as Wango danced ecstatically, thus exposing her body. Such was the insult to tradition that Wango Wa Makeri was forced to resign her position, but she retains respect and admiration as a pioneering feminist. And that is the story of Wango Wa Makeri. And just to bring a little bit of context into when and how and where this situation happened, was Murang'a, which is a picturesque and fast-growing town with rich natural and cultural history. The place was formerly known as Mbiri. Later, with the settlement of the British colonial administrators, a certain Francis Hall built a fort in the town, and the place was effectively known as Fort Hall. Today, it is called Murang'a. One of the most significant cultural sites in Murang'a is the Mukure wa Nyagathanga. The site requires regular rehabilitation to preserve it. It is important to safeguard our cultural sites for the prosperity of the future generations, as would the Kikuyu say. And that concludes our first part of today's episode of the story of Wango Wa Makeri. Stay tuned as we begin the second piece. we hope you liked the first part of today's episode. Now let's move on to the second story of today's episode, Luanda Magere. Now, a lot of people have been recommending, they have been sending us insane feedback for the full story of Luanda Magere. So, let us talk about the Invisible Man. Among the Luo community, no warrior had had such a profound effect that is perhaps felt to date than Luanda Magere, son of the Sidho clan. His name means the fierce rock or the rock that builds, and this just shows how mighty this warrior once stood. Tales are told of his unearthly powers and his skin of stone. It is said that spears, arrows, and clubs simply bounced off his body, making him indestructible. That is, if you believe that. The most outstanding things he did, his extraordinary ability to tear enemies apart, is the most celebrated. Of all the communities that stood to witness his supernatural powers, the Nandi bore it the most. The Nandi were the Luo's traditional enemies at the time, and they were very good at fighting, especially at night. On the other hand, Luanda Magere and his tribesmen were better fighters during the daytime. While people were fighting, Luanda would be seen at home smoking tobacco, but if he heard that the Nandi were threatening his people, he would ask that his shield and spear be brought to him immediately. The ensuing battles would have Luanda struck down so many Nandi warriors at once that the rest would have no option but to flee. So, afraid of the mighty Luanda were the Nandi that whenever they would hear that he was on the battlefield, they would all run back to their lands. Luanda Magere would at times even follow them back to their homes and take their most prized possessions and cattle without any opposition. Lucky man. It eventually reached a point. The Nandi gave up fighting Luanda as they did not know what to do to defeat him. They left him alone, deciding that he was indeed God's creation. Luanda's downfall, however, came in the form of his Nandi wife. Well, if we can call her that, other than the possession that he just basically took. The Nandi had given them their most beautiful girl so that he could leave their cattle, which were their main source of livelihood, alone. It so happened that one day Luanda fell sick and his first wife was not around to nurse him. He chose to call his Nandi wife to bring him medicine. He instructed the Nandi wife to cut his shadow with a knife to administer his medicine. Imagine to her shock when she saw the shadow bleeding. That same night, this lying Nandi wife sneaked back to her people and told them of Luanda's secret, and they attacked using the element of surprise at night. Straight out of the Bible, you know. Caught unprepared, Luanda and the Luos fought bravely and outmatched the Nandi. The cowardly attackers retreated in defeat. One Nandi warrior remembered that Luanda's shadow bled. He stood atop, raised the ground, and struck a spear into Luanda's shadow. Behold, the mighty Luanda fell down and died, and his body turned to stone. Strong wind blew over the land of the Nandi and Kano, and the land of Luanda's people, followed by a 2-year drought. Luanda appeared to the Luo elders in dreams and told them where he died. The place he died, he is still revered, and people come from far and wide to conduct rituals and prayers at the stone. His story is passed down from generation to generation through oral tradition. And that, my fellow ghoulies and ghoulettes, is the end of the tale of Luanda Magere. So tell me, who do you think is the greatest shujaa in today's episode? Is it Luanda Magere or Wango wa Makeri? Thank you for joining me tonight for such an amazing session. It is such a pleasure to recite and to reenact, using my voice of course, these amazing stories carefully curated by Shujaa Stories. Until next time, I shall see you then, and don't forget, follow us at the Horror Fan Club Kenya on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and let us know what you think about these stories. what significance were they misinformed? Were my sources misinformed, which I highly doubt? And what other stories would you like to hear in the future? There's a plethora of stories on the shujaastories.org site, but we want to select the best because, you know, we want to be the best. I don't know. I'm just rambling on here. So let us see each other in the next episode of 13 Nights of Halloween Season 3. I would say Happy Halloween, but that clearly has passed, so happy tidings.